Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, getting sick abroad is the last thing you want to consider when you're getting ready for your holidays, but it is always worth being prepared for such an eventuality. Clare-based GP Maura Finn is on the line now to share some helpful advice. Good morning to you, Maura.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. Lots to talk about under this banner, but the first one is a little unusual because we have this advice from the Irish College of GPs. Families of children who are very small, so little babies who are aged 6 to 11 months, they're being advised to get an additional MMR vaccine. That's due to the rise in measles cases, is it?
Yeah, so globally, measles are circulating widely. And this advice came out last week, actually, that any child that is travelling anywhere abroad now between the ages of 6 and 11 months should get an additional MMR vaccine. The normal vaccine protocol starts at 12 months for MMR. So it'll be an additional vaccine. They will still have to have their normal vaccine after 12 months. And it has to be stated that this won't give full coverage, but it is an added protection because measles is, as we know, is such a horrible disease. So it is recommended. And I suppose the other things is, you need to be very careful bringing children of that age abroad anyway for all sorts of other reasons.
Mm-hmm. OK, well, that's very specific advice for those families with the small babies, as I said. But in general, then, we want to talk about advice for people heading off on their holidays and the very basics of the first aid kit. What should be in it?
Well, this is where your local pharmacist is your best friend because, they know all of the stuff that really is so suitable to bring away, and small containers of them obviously are important when you're going traveling by plane. So antiseptic creams for insect bites, antihistamines. There's a limited number you can use for small children and under two, they're not recommended at all. But for adults and older children, they are important. Steroid creams are really a good idea. So 1% hydrocortisone is available over the counter in your pharmacist. And most insect bites, most things that you get are actually inflammatory. They're not infected, they're inflamed. And a steroid cream will actually calm them down. Mm,
and you might just nip them in the bud if you're inclined to get infections as a result down the line, if you can.
Exactly. And kind of secondary bacterial infections are actually quite rare. It's only when you start scratching them and going at them that happens. So that's where the insect repellents are really important then as well. You try not to get bitten in the first place. And then obviously sunscreens. That's just a no-brainer. Obviously, mm-hmm. Everybody knows that, but they need to be good quality UVA and UVB. So into your pharmacist, and they can kind of create a little travel pack for you, which would be very useful.
Yes. So magic cream, whichever magic cream your family uses, and a box
exactly.
of plasters and all the extra bits and bobs that you mentioned there. Now, medication, because it's one of those things that you do routinely at home, take your medication if you're taking something on prescription and then you forget to bring it with you. So you've got to shore that up well in advance.
Yeah, you need to order it well in advance to give your pharmacist time to have it. Make sure you have enough supply in case you are actually delayed on your return. Make sure it's in your hand luggage. So if there is an issue with bags being lost or anything, that it can be that you have it with you. If you have any injectable medications or long-term prescriptions that need refrigeration, you need to have special equipment for that. But also you may need a letter from your GP. That's not usual, but if they are injectable or if there's syringes and things involved, it's important that you would cover yourself in case you are questioned on it, and make sure you have it in its original packaging too, so that people would be able to tell what it is. And it's really important as well that you might have a list of your medication. So in case you did get sick and in case you can't explain what the medication is, if you're in a hospital abroad and the doctor's looking at a green tablet and a yellow tablet, it won't make sense to them probably. It will take a lot of time to figure out what they are. So have a list of your medication with their proper name with you so that you actually can explain yourself if you were in the unfortunate position where you were sick.
Mm-hmm. So that's the prescription medicine box ticked. Can we just go back to the first aid kit? Because a lot of people, when they go overseas, they might get an upset tummy. That's very common, isn't it? Is there anything we can bring with us to treat the symptoms?
Well, so the biggest problem with an upset tummy is if you have diarrhea, and particularly if you're vomiting, you get dehydrated. Add that to a heat maybe scenario, and that is a real problem for anybody, adults, elderly people are more at risk and young children are more at risk. So rehydration sachets are a really good idea to bring with you. Things people will know them, Dioralyte, Rapalyte, there's a few of them out there. But it's really, it's important that you have as much hydration as you possibly can. If somebody has diarrhea and vomiting, food isn't necessarily an important thing, but they need to be kept cool, they need to be kept hydrated. And like I say, bringing the rehydration sachets are really important. And the old kind of bit of sugar and a flat 7-up, those old cures actually can help as well.
Mm-hmm. So, and be careful what you're eating. I know that sounds like very basic common sense, but street food, that kind of thing can look lovely, but is it worth it if you're going to have a bad outcome?
It needs to be cooked. That's the first thing. So it needs to be hot and cooked. And it needs, the other thing is, water should always be from a sealed container. You know, don't use ice in your drinks. Maybe fruit, obviously, it's lovely to try all these exotic fruits, but make sure they're peeled fruits, you know, fruits that you know that there isn't any other issue with them. And people sometimes bring Imodium and other antidiarrheal agents with them, but they're not a great idea. And we don't use them for children so much. So, and actually, if anything, it sounds awful, but diarrhea, it's better out than in, so stopping it isn't necessarily the right thing to do, but you just don't want to get dehydrated when you have it. That's mm-hmm. the major problem with it.
Well, dehydration is front of mind for many people who are going to places that are experiencing very high temperatures, so you've got to be mindful of that as a something that potentially might happen to you.
Oh, absolutely. And we see some of these temperatures across Europe that last year and this year already. So, you know, fluid intake is really important. Avoiding the sun at the really hot times. Then, you know, your sun creams and everything else, because if you do actually kind of get sunburnt on top of that, you can imagine the issues that happen. Alcohol as well, because it dehydrates you as well as the sun and the heat will. And then you actually can make poor decisions when you're in alcohol, and falling asleep in the sun, really dangerous thing that can happen. So it's really important that you just watch for the signs of it. And in small children, things like tiredness, lethargy, confusion, headaches, even in adults and elderly people, just be really careful that they can be moved out of a hot area if they are at risk of dehydration and sun stroke or heat stroke.
So cover up, stay well hydrated, get out of the sun while you can, all of those usual precautions to take. People then who are travelling a little further afield, you mentioned Europe there and high temperatures in Europe, but if you're on a long haul flight, you need to be aware of deep vein thrombosis. Now, who's at risk?
That's very true. So a long haul flight is really considered anything over 4 or 5 hours. So anybody who has a high BMI, anybody who's post-operative, pregnant ladies, and somebody who's newly on a combined oral contraceptive pill, these are the people who are really at risk of deep vein thrombosis, but anybody can be at risk of it. So the most important thing is you do the sensible things. You wear flight socks if you're going to be on a long haul flight. You walk around the plane as much as you possibly can. Most people want to sleep, but actually movement is really key, and moving the muscles of your legs really reduces the risk of the clots developing. So flexing your leg muscles as well when you're sitting at the in your seat. And then occasionally for some people we use prophylactic medication, and that's something that you discuss with your doctor in advance. And people who have cancer as well, if you have cancer diagnosis, they actually do a well-deserved holiday might be a great idea, but they may be at increased risk of a DVT. So it's something that you need to watch very carefully.
Now, we had some great advice here on the programme in recent times from the Department of Foreign Affairs for people who are heading off for the post-leaving cert or post-exam holidays, the one, you know, the one that the parents all really get worried about, understandably. And conversations are you recommending that should happen between the parents and the teenager before they go to make sure that they're as safe as they possibly can be?
Oh, absolutely. And it's a difficult, I mean, this is a rite of passage now at this stage, and it's really important. And these kids need to have their break after a really difficult trial of exams. But you need to be careful. But alcohol intake is probably the biggest issue there. And they obviously need to be very careful about the decision making. You need to have a very, very clear conversation around safe sex practices as well, and, you know, issues around prophylaxis from that point of view. Making sure that you look after your friends and you stay with your friends and they don't, you know, you don't lose each other. These are really important things. And then dehydration, falling asleep in the sun, all of that. They're big conversations, but they need to be had. And I have to say, you know, any parent of a teenager heading abroad, it's often their first holiday alone, and they're with a lot of other people, young people who are so excited. So it's nerve-wracking, but it's also usually a very positive thing.
Mm-hmm. And turn your location service on your phone so you
be
found.
Absolutely.
What was the other piece of advice? Oh, take a picture of where you're staying, which is a great idea because anyone can get confused about where they're staying, especially on the first night. So take a quick picture of it so you have it in your phone. That was some good advice.
That's very good advice.
Yes,
yeah.
For everybody, actually, for everyone who's traveling. So
and the room you're in.
And the room, yes, that's another good one, Maura. So good advice for anyone who's traveling to Europe, and people will probably know this in the back of their minds but forget to do it, applying and making sure that you have European health insurance. This is the E11 card, which everybody is entitled to.
Yeah, and apparently now it's called European Health Insurance Card. So it's the same thing, really. So anybody in the European Union who's on holidays, on a short-term stay in another country for no more than 3 months, or studying abroad, is entitled to have healthcare for free, or at the very least, reduced cost. And these are available online or from... you can get them from the European Health Insurance Card offices as well, by post. So it's a really important thing to have. These are the things, it's insurance like this that you actually kind of hope you never need to use. If you have it, you won't. If you don't have it, you might need it. That's the problem, isn't it, with most situations. It's like having your first aid kit. If you don't have those things with you, you're bound to need them. And if you do, you'll be fine.
Yeah, it's worth doing it. It's a very quick process to do online to apply for that European Health Insurance Card. Maura, thanks so much. That's Dr. Maura Finn there with advice before people go on holiday.